We've had the prelude, which is basically like a kind of a summary of the whole Bhagavatam in the first three verses. What is the situation? What is our problem? What is the spiritual world? And then Srimad Bhagavatam is the way to go there, to get free from all these problems. And not only that, but also one can appreciate then Krishna as Rasaraj, or the reservoir of all different mellows in the serving attitude. So the three verses are very complete. Then we had the geographic situation. Where are we? What's this general background? And then, of course, it's describing the Suta Goswami, his preliminary qualifications. Yeah, not his qualification, just that they gave him an elevated seat. I think so. That's like, by the way, some qualification. And who's there? So where are we? Who's there? And now this is the first text where the sages actually start to talk to him directly. And of course, this goes all the way through the first chapter. And after that, Suta Goswami answers. So in the first three chapters, here's a complete Bhagavatam. If somebody has a problem, by the will of providence, they meet a guru. He explains Srimad Bhagavatam to them. He asks any questions, or else they say they have more questions, and those are answered. If not, then the guru says, now you go and do the same thing, like that. Okay. So, here we have Tvaya kalu puranani satiha samichanaga akyatani api adidani vashyani ka. My God, okay. I'll be right back. Don't go away. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life, Dharma Shastras. And histories, those are the itihasas as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Right. So we're going to see that there's all these qualifications that they're attributing to Suta Goswami. He's free from vice. He knows the Puranas, the itihasas, and the Dharma Shastras. He's heard them and also explained them, which Prabhu will say is more important than reading them. And he did that with proper guidance. He's the oldest of all the Vedantists. He knows Vyasadeva and the knowledge that Vyasadeva had. He also knows other sages, and he's well-versed in both physical and metaphysical. So he knows like how to deal with this material world and also transcendental perspective. He was submissive to his acharyas. He was gentle, and therefore they gave him all their favors. Blessed with many years. Yeah. And also he knows why Krishna specifically appeared in the womb of Devaki. Yeah. He's taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he's more valuable than the Ganga. Yeah. He's wise. And finally, text 22, which is one of the greatest, they say, we think we've met your grace by the will of providence to be the captain of the ship passing over this horrible Kali Yuga, which destroys all the good qualities of a living being, like that. So they feel that it's a providential arrangement. There's a whole bunch of things, things that are really, making this problem. In modern education, in some ways, there's like, the knowledge is impersonal and the education is impersonal. but in the Vedic culture, it's extremely dependent upon who you're hearing from. And so before any time before somebody asks questions and stuff like that, they'll illuminate the speaker. This is why I'm approaching you. This is the aspect of your character and personality which I'm trying to approach. And please, you also remember, and get in this mood of being this or that. You know, when at Kurukshetra, Radharani was trying to invoke Krishna's, you know, Goloka consciousness, because he was in his Vasudeva consciousness, the Vasudeva portion. You know? So we go to somebody to want to evoke a certain aspect of their personality, position, and this chapter is just full of this. You know, so much, you know, preliminary perspective on who's talking, who's asking. And then after that, there'll be like a series of questions they have. And they're very, very relevant questions to their time. So Prabhupada's purport, he says, a Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Srila Vyasadeva, yeah, must be free from all kinds of vices. Okay. And I was noticing yesterday in Govindadatta Prabhu's class, in the purport, Prabhupada says that one should be a Goswami before you hear from him. But Grihasthas can also become Goswamis. That's one point. It should be very clear. Prabhupada says, there's no difference between the man, the Grihastha, fully engaged in spiritual life, and the man in the renounced order of life. Small austerities. The sannyasi is given more formal respect. So sit here, receive this garland first, those kind of things. But it may very well be, you know, that the grihastha is a much more advanced devotee than the sannyasi. But he has the external karma or position to be in that good situation. Yeah? But no, grihastha is fully engaged, and he's actually more of a Goswami than the sannyasi like that. Yeah. So all of us, children, women, men, all have to become Goswamis. And then we can go on to become pure devotees. We have to control our senses. Also yesterday, too, I was talking about Parampara, and it says that Vyasadeva impregnated Sukadeva Goswami with the message. And this is another point. So it says that he impregnated him. And this is a really important point, because all through the Puranas, the Bhagavatam, the thing is, we're not trying to communicate messages just like a parrot. Now, you might say, okay, what do you do is the teacher teaches, you know, Des Moines is the capital of Iowa, Tacoma is the capital of Seattle, not capital of Washington. You know, the longest river in the world is the, whatever it is, Amazon or the Nile. And that's knowledge. Repeat it back. But of course, in India is always ahead of everybody and everything, pretty much. So their repeat it back is unbelievable. This is what it's talking about sometimes. Is the Brahmanas, they would memorize the mantras exactly with the exact intonation, pronunciation, duration. And so they would memorize the functional hymns of the Vedas for doing these sacrifices, forwards, backwards, and skipping alternative syllables like that. And they would all chant them together, maybe 1,000 Brahmas this same time, which was every 7 years or something like that. You know? And so the chances of all 1,000 people making the same mistake at the same time are pretty minimal. Like that. So even big anthropologists say that this in some ways is more reliable than a literary tradition, because it's a more fixed system. I've seen this one mistake in a book, and everybody else in the world picks it up and assumes that's right. Yeah? So that kind of precise, exact transmission is not what Sudha Goswami is expert at. I think it actually mentions that. Excuse me. He was impregnated by Sudha Goswami. The seed was put in him. The idea was there. Yata idam yata mati. And now he's going to try and make the sages experience it as he experienced it. So that, you know, and our preaching and everything else is just to try and get people to get the message. And once the message is across, the experience is across, then it's a part of their heart. They can deal with it. Some factual details, some verses, you know, necessary. You know. But the real thing is to get the experience of Krishna, the experience of being a devotee, the experience of serving Krishna without motivation. So I think yesterday it was important, those 2 points I noticed. Anybody could be a Goswami, and it was impregnated. So today it continues. You have to be free from all sinful activities. And Prabhupada lists the four major vices in Kali Yuga as illicit connection with women, animal slaughter. It's kind of interesting because he doesn't say meat eating. You know, the problem, he even says, if you're so much into it, just wait till the animals die. You know, they all die, so you can eat them then. Mm-hmm. But the problem is actually animal slaughter. Mm-hmm. Then intoxication. And four, it's also interesting, speculative gambling of all sorts. So right now, maybe many of us are sitting inside of a building, and in Hawaii, I guess, it's even a real fact that at any moment, if a strong enough earthquake comes along, it could knock the island off of its pedestal or something, or the volcanoes could go off, you know. So maybe you should leave Hawaii, you know, or get out of the building, you know. So yeah, we're always taking risks. You know? The life is a risk, the best use of a bad bargain. But it becomes gambling when we're like, what's the word? We're taking unnecessary risks, things you don't have to do to try and cheat, to try and gain life. You know? So that can have all sorts. And this also means, Prabhupada says, the speculative stock market. Prabhupada engaged Atreya Rishi in investing money in the stock market, you know, for the Mayapur Vrindavan Trust. And so. But he didn't speculate. I mean, it was the word. He investigated very seriously. That was his line of work, which companies had good management, which had a certain history. And like Elisha, he put the money in good places. And then, yeah, you should expect that you're going to have a regular profitable returns on your money like that. So somebody who's going to sit in the Vyasa-san, he has to be free from all these things. Yeah? A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasa-san. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasa-san who is not spotless in character, who is not free from the above mentioned vices. He not only should be free from all such vices, but must also be well versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. So we follow the four principles and we chant Hare Krishna. And if you chant Hare Krishna, you know, properly, you'll be well versed in all the revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also parts of the Vedas, and the histories like the Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. Yeah. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. This is a real problem for me because it sounds like Prabhupada is saying that it's more important to hear than read his books. Yeah. So, but who do we hear from? It's people we're hearing from are reading Prabhupada's books. So, and maybe they have some more comprehension. But also, Prabhupada also said, an intelligent man, unless he has at least 1 hour a day to read, won't be satisfied. And Prabhupada always emphasizing us to read his books, but always to read and discuss them. You know, that's the thing. So hearing them and explaining them, shravanam, kirtanam. But here, kirtanam is called explaining, like that, you know. Here, and I was actually using this term, it seemed more natural to me. And I see here Prabhupada's confirming it. As I remember in the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam 7.5.23, because 2 plus 3 is 5, 7.5.23, it talks about each process, and when it comes to Smaranam, we say remember, but it doesn't mean remembering like a fact, like again, like the capital of California is Sacramento, no. It means contemplation. It means meditation, like that. Yeah. And the first level, again, as I'm remembering, is this level of understanding. Yeah. When you just develop this this jnana analysis of something, like how an automobile works. Okay, so we explain to the child that there's gasoline. We maybe take a little bit of gasoline and put it in the cup and pour it back out and put a match inside, and he sees how the little bit of vapor in there burns. You know. Okay, so that then is transferred to the cylinders. It's ignited, it explodes, that makes them go up and down. And that's connected to the wheels, and it goes forward. You know? So that kind of like explanation of things, hearing and explaining, when it comes to explaining it in a logical sense, that's the first level of Smarana. Then after that it goes to more and more different levels of contemplation, appreciation, until it becomes so intense that we're with Krishna at every moment, like that. So hearing, chanting, explaining, and probably always emphasizing, because our yoga. So how do you do this? You know, there's so many ways like that. You can, for example, you can just talk to people about nice day, the breeze is blowing, really wakes me up and gives me a clear head when I get the breeze. Of course, among purifiers, I am the wind. So we're talking about that, and the person will also start talking about it. Yeah, I like to go out sometimes and just feel the wind blowing on my face. Really clears my head. Okay. He's talking about Krishna, pantheism, light of the sun, taste of water. You know? And so this way, we're looking for the opportunity. We can always be talking about Krishna based on the pantheism of Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10. Or the pantheism, which we're going to see in the Bhagavatam, like that. And then other people, we can talk about different concepts of what is mercy, is there free will, cosmology, what about reincarnation, you know. So many things. What are progressive, you know, dharma, rules and regulations? Is homosexuality okay? Is what else do we have? Oh my God! Okay. Am I okay here? Yeah. Okay. So there's a variety of topics. One minister here in Nashville was saying, "Yeah, homosexuality is okay." And what else did he have? He has like a whole program. Oh yeah, and there was no Adam and Eve. Yeah, it's all evolutions, everything. Yeah. So we can talk about these things. Yeah. And then as we do that, you know, then we get this realization, and when we come, just like Vyasadeva, little by little. Okay. A Goswami must be free from all these vices. Yeah. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. But I would say reading is important too. Because without reading, you can't explain. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravanam, and explaining is called Kirtanam. The two processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Mm-hmm. One who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, it's the same thing. We find many places different processes of self-realization are given, different kinds of religion, you know. But, for example, in the Bible is a story of Mary and Martha. I think, what is it? Mary? Yeah, Martha's listening. Christ is traveling with his Sankirtan party. They stop in somebody's house. He's having an Ishtagosti evening class. And Martha is listening to the whole thing. Then Mary comes out of the kitchen and she says, "Lord, please send Martha in the kitchen to help. There's a lot of people to cook for here." And Jesus laughs and says, "What you're doing is very, very good. But actually Martha is chosen to do something better. So if she wants to, she can stay in the class." So very devotees, we can appreciate these things. You know? And Quran, I don't know, but I have a suspicion it's the same thing. He gives many processes. But I have a suspicion it comes down to, he says the same thing, is to hear regularly from Allah's man. And Socrates, the same thing, applying every day the words of the soothsayer. He talks about how to become free from anxiety about death in the last dialogue. But he says, for to really penetrate, you have to hear every day from the self-realized soul. You know? Come, let us reason together. And even though your sins are as red as blood, you will become as white as snow. And Bhagavad Gita too. Just by hearing and chanting, all of these simple reactions, you know, can be adjusted and put in the proper circumstance. And maybe we have to do something about them, but now we know. And so they're no longer a problem for us. You know? And so it's actually a very progressive part of our whole self-realization, very enthusiastic then to deal with all these different problems we have. And some people have problems with sex. Some people have problems with power. Some people have problems with intoxication. You know, some people have problems with money. Some people have problems with mental speculation. I guess somebody has problems with everything. All of them. Yeah. So we have to deal with this. You know, our karma, and pay it off. You know, connect it to Krishna. Yeah? And so this process of hearing and chanting is very nice, no? That it's being emphasized in the very beginning. And that's it. You know? And so this first chapter, they'll go on glorifying his qualifications. They'll go on describing the situation, which is that Kali Yuga has come, and it's a horrible situation. They'll glorify Krishna as, and his hearing about him as the solution. Of course, he has all the incarnations. And he comes to show us these different things. He comes as Ramachandra, so we can read the Ramayana again and again. And the heroic feats of his devotees, Hanuman. Yeah? And other incarnations too, like the Vamana, the Vamana Dwadasi, and how he had dealings with Bali Maharaj and everything else. Yeah? And Prabhupada said this is why Vyasadeva did all this, because the natural tendency is to hear stories. And so then the process of self-realization becomes so easy. We're reading in our Bhakti Bhai Baba program, very nice purport, in Kardamamuni Sannyas. Kardamamuni is taking sannyas. I didn't mention this before. Prabhupada says that a sannyasi is always is proud of always keeping Krishna in his heart, always thinking of Krishna. So a girl, she may be very proud of her chastity. Some Vaishya may feel very happy and proud that he's able to give nice donations regularly to support everybody and the hearing and chanting the process. But he says a sannyasi is proud that he's able to always keep Krishna in his heart and meditate on him all the time. But he says that in the age of Kali, the mind is so disturbed that the best process is actually always hearing and chanting about him. And then it will automatically follow like that. So the sages are saying that. We're here for thousands of years. We're willing to go on listening to you. And then they ask questions. I think which question they ask first. First question they ask is, what is the essence of Dharma? Because there's so many things recommended. Now, we're not talking about Vikarmis here, whose idea is just take what you can get. You know, how's it go? Every man for himself, and the devil take in most. That's my philosophy. Yeah. But they're not like that. You know? They're looking for progressive rules and regulations that will take one to obviously expanded awareness. By following these, you can see, I'm more everything has become more is better by following these rules and regulations. You know? So you're looking for the best rules and regulations because there's so many like that, so many. You know? What is the essence of all Dharma? And right along with that, of course, there's so many scriptures. So what is the essence of all these scriptures? What is the best? And then there's so many incarnations. So please select those and describe them in such a way that we also, you know, can get free from all the problems of Kali Yuga, and so people in general can also get free from all these problems. And then specifically, please describe to us the purpose and qualifications of Krishna's incarnation, like that. And now, finally, that Krishna has gone, and he was keeping all these things in order, where are we going to really find these things? You know, Dharma, Jnana, these kind of things like that. So today, this is just starting to describe the Suta Goswami and his qualifications. And you know, in our own lives, that's the whole thing, is that trying to associate with people in the proper perspective, you know, and trying to be able to hear properly from so many devotees. I mean, if a devotee is only 80% self-realized, are we going to reject him? No. It's just, for example, we bought this office kind of building. It's an old trader house, but the property is kind of valuable. So we're using that for an office now for our Anjana Suda Academy, our institute. And out back, I noticed the neighbor has this pear tree. And my God, there's just so many pears in the thing, you know. For him, it's like a nuisance. You know? Yeah. And so then there, but they, you know, you see many of them, they wouldn't accept them in the store because they got little brown spots and this and that. But hey, you can just take those off and you can chew around those. It's unbelievable. Of course, everybody knows this. You know, when the fruit is fresh from the tree and tree ripe, it's a whole different world, you know, than what you buy in the store and everything else like that. So yeah, we can just, you know, chew around the bad spots in our god brothers, god sisters, or so many people. You know, devotee, when he's with the Trinada piece and Uchina, as we become advanced, then it's not like how few gurus I can get. It's how I have to see everybody as my guru. Different kinds of gurus in different positions like that. And the expert person can see all that. So it's kind of our thoughts on the verse. Maybe somebody else has some other ideas. Because we also have a little PowerPoint show which may work, which we sent to Ramananda about Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
We are ready.
So should we look at that first before we go on to the discussion?
Definitely. Give me a second here to switch screens. Let's find it. God, there's a lot of devotees on right now. 26, 28, I forget. I took the count. Where is it? Where is it? Oh, here we go. Okay, there we go. We're set.
Jai, Shila Satchitananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai. Abhirbhava Mahotsavade Ki Jai. So, these pictures, I dug up all these pictures off the internet. It's a nice one of Puri, very old, you know. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur. I think someone told me maybe that was during Chaturmasi or something. Hmm? Yeah. Okay, next slide.
Sorry, let me find a quick thing. There it is. Okay.
Okay, this nice picture of him. I guess this is all the other magistrates. Actually, by modern standard, it looks like a kind of gang of criminals or something, you know, pirates, you know, like that. But I guess that was all the judges had beards. They all had turbans. Yeah. Amazing. A whole different world, much more rich. So he was born September 2nd, 1838. His childhood was spent at his maternal grandfather's house at Bir Nagar, Ulagram. I think his father died early. From where he came to Calcutta at the age of 13. Oh, I see. Okay. After the death of his father. Bhaktivinoda Thakur later took to the government service and was transferred to Bengal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's next move was to Puri. The government commissioner was much pleased to get him in his division, and he asked him to watch the affairs of Jagannath on behalf of the government. Next slide. So you can see two there. Get back up. One. Regress. Yeah. So you can see the this is the Singhadwara. And if you've been to Puri, you know, it's different now. And you can see the chakras on top there. And there's no cement at this time, I don't think. So all those things must be solid stone or something. You know? And then there's the two lions down below. And right above them, it looks like maybe Jai Vijay or Hanuman. And above them, it looks like a series maybe of musicians or something on the stone. Then way in front, there's a very tall column. Looks like the Garuda Stamba. Right there. And some cows and some people selling. So maybe this is how it was when Lord Chaitanya was there with Ramananda Roy and everybody else. And Raghunath Das Goswami. So he was put in charge of course, this whole temple by the government. You need to appreciate he was not an ordinary person, even in the eyes of the political administration at that time. Mm-hmm. Next slide. These are really interesting pictures. Here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a young man with a mustache. Maybe is that him or Bhaktisiddhanta? I think it was him. It said him. Maybe it wasn't him. But anyways, on the right, this was a little baby. Maybe that's Bhaktisiddhanta. When you look at the picture close, the kid looks really happy, contented. Maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur was happy in his Grihastha ashram, you know, appreciating that it's there's a reflection of Krishna, and everything is there is very nice, but it's a reflection, you know. Yeah. Prabhupada says a pure devotee lives happily in this world, seeing everything as a reflection of Vaikuntha. He was anxious to see the land of Lord Chaitanya so much that he applied many times for a transfer to any town nearby. Upon not receiving the desired transfer, he formally submitted a resignation for public service, but it was refused. Then, to his great rejoicing, he obtained the transfer to Krishnanagar, 25 miles from Navadvip to Mayapur.
I'm sorry. It takes a while to render. That's why seems so slow.
Now this picture is a little more grown up, and the boys are more grown up. He looks older. He's starting to look like maybe like about 40. You know? On the right, very nice picture, very stylish. Probably with a watch. One thing I noticed in so many of these pictures, he has a book in his hand. Somebody in front of him or in his hand. I thought, the year 1895 was the most eventful year in the history of the Vaishnava world. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the prime mover in the events. It was in this year that he officially memorialized the birth site of Sri Chaitanya and brought its true identity and importance before the public eye. Thousands of visitors were present at a function held at the spot. So please, next slide, if you please, Maestro. So I guess this is the whole family here. And I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur had two wives. There was a joking between him and Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta will call him a kacha grihasta, a dirty grihasta, dirty grihasta, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur will call him a Mayavadi impersonalist or something. Yeah, we'll call it an impersonalist, maybe not renunciate like that, you know. So, they had their ways of preaching. It was at the beginning of the 12th century that he chose to live at Puri and build a house on the beachfront there. He accepted the renounced order of life by taking Babaji initiation from Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji in 1908. Though he was leading the life of a renowned soul, he could not avoid the men of all descriptions who constantly visited him. So always preaching. And he explains that so many people, he enlightened them, he redirected them. And this is what, also the Bhaktivedanta Institute. I was working with Srupa Damodar Maharaj, and Prabhupada was picking that. But he said, every scientist you make a devotee is worth a thousand ordinary people. But our experience was that it's about 1,000 times more difficult to make a scientist into a devotee. So take your choice. Beat on one scientist for 1,000 years or make 1,000 people into a devotee 1 year. You know, everybody has their own way of preaching. But yeah, it's one avenue, definitely. He was preaching to great journalists, but also common people too. In 1910, he shut himself up and remained in a perfect state of samadhi, or full concentration on the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In 1914, he passed away to the blissful realm of Goloka on the day which is observed as the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar. And as far as I understand, it didn't mean that he was just sitting there with not eating or sleeping or kind of like a mummy in that sense. But as far as I understand, this, again, other people may have more information, what it mean was he was just sitting in his own little kutir, and family would bring like lunch, something super simple, and he would just be chatting and halfway noticing them, halfway not noticing them, and they were quite accustomed to this. And after some time they would come back, and maybe some of the preparations would be taken, maybe not, and they were quite accustomed to that. And sometimes they could communicate with him, enough external communication to communicate about something. But basically, he wasn't concerned about his external circumstances. Eating and sleeping went on as a matter of his habit. Little concern about doing it properly. Here we quote a stanza about the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote sometime in 1871 to explain what influence a Vaishnava carries in this world even after he departs. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. And the last slide, next one there. Oh, this has got animation. Let's see what happens here.
I saw the animation, but it didn't come through.
It came through a little bit. A little artik here, offering, blowing the conch shell, offering flowers and incense. A nice artik. Namo bhakti vinodaya satchitananda namine gora shakti swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Pushpanjalim Pushpanjalim Pushpanjalim. So on these different days of the Vaishnava year, it's good that you can memorize. Like if you don't know this prayer, you can memorize it. And after 1 year, my goodness, you'll have the prayers of the Acharyas, you'll have most of the Das Avatara Stotra, you have prayers to Radharani. And so that's a nice austerity, to increase the hearing and chanting on these days, to try and learn something, memorize it. And it's such a satisfaction to be able to know these things and remember them like that. But of course, we've got proper guidance and executing our job seriously to develop a systematic logic of everything like that. And remember, the most important Sanskrit verse always is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Next. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept our humble obeisances. Your speaker.
I went ahead and unmuted everybody.
So this is our webpage. Yeah, you can always kind of find Monkey and Piggy and Brother Ass and Uncle Gizmo and Hanumanpreet Shakswami all there at our webpage. So any comments or anything? Any questions anybody have?
Okay. As I said, I already unmuted everybody. So if anyone has a question or comment, otherwise please do remain muted so there's not too much competition because we have a lot of devotees on, almost 30. If no one's going to jump in, I'm going to ask a question. But oh, go ahead, Prabhu.
Yeah. I was just going to ask Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. You know the slideshow, it says that Bhaktivinod took Babaji initiation from Gaura Kishore Das. So I was Gaura Kishore Maharaj, I think. But I was a bit confused because I thought that Gaura Kishore was a disciple of Bhaktivinod.
Yeah. Basically what I did, I took a Chutananda's biography from the, from the songbook like that, cut it, pasted it. But as I understand, they were equal. Actually, Prabhupada says it was only a formality that Maharaj Pariksit became the student and Sukadeva Goswami became the teacher. He says they were both equally qualified, It's the same way. I think many times we hear this story that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaura Kishore was always trying to avoid, taking the position of being the superior. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to try and take Babaji initiation from him the first time, he went and sat on the veranda of the local courtesan's house like that. And he said, I knew Babaji would never, the Thakurji would never look for me there, He's laughing, As I have heard, there was something about how they had same kind of acharya or something, and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was like a little bit superior in when he took initiation or something like that. So somehow he was a little bit like, in that formally like a little bit etiquette-wise, like that. But the thing is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur maybe again, as a formality, he took it from somebody. Sri Chaitanya took sannyas from somebody in Shankara Sampradaya. He initiated him into the sannyas mantra before he took it from him. So I don't know any more details like that, but it's possible.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah.
I have a question. In the purport, Prabhupada makes a distinction between hearing and reading. And could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's what I was saying before, too, that for me it's a little bit odd, too, because, because Prabhupada's always emphasizing to read his books like that, But he almost always, when he emphasizes it, he says, he's in the association of devotees. So even if we're reading, just reading Prabhupada's books or hearing somebody read, then there is also this living aspect to it, like that. And that's about all I can say, because to me it seems that reading is hearing, but it should be done in association with devotees, and the thing is then to discuss it, Shravanam Kirtanam makes the real point. And in the class I was making this point that the first level of Smaranam is to explain it. To be able to take what you've heard and then organize it into a logical fashion. Jnana. And then after that, once you've got it, because that's the first contemplation, and it sticks, it grabs a hold of your mind then. And then after that, you can start to really like focus jnana on what you've how you analyzed it and maybe adjust the analysis. And then the shmarnam goes through different levels of uninterrupted intense, uninterrupted, intense, broad, anushmarnam. And then at that point, nectar instruction describes him. At that point, you wake up and you can see that Krishna's there. Everything happening is Krishna playing with you with his own hand, like that. So, yeah, that's I also a little bit difficult in that Prabhupada saying that you have to hear from the right source. Hearing is more important than reading. But for us, in our present situation, it seems that reading Prabhupada's books sometimes is more important than just, if we go on hearing, from who are we going to hear from? You know, from our God brothers, God sisters. So definitely it seems super essential, you know, to read Prabhupada's books also. Or at least to hear somebody read them. There you go. That's what I would understand.
Maharaj?
Uh-huh.
And that's Spitoka Madhava Das. Yeah, the same part of the purport struck me. Prabhupada saying, to hear and explain, and he's referring to the Vedas, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, is more important than reading them. And then he says, one can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. So that struck me also. Most of us, we've read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, but hearing a self-realized soul explain the meaning is more important. And you know, we have so many recordings of Prabhupada. So there's so much depth to these literatures, and I've even heard that every syllable of Bhagavatam is infinite, which makes sense because Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna for this age. And that was partly demonstrated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati when he spent a few months just explaining the first verse. And Lord Chaitanya, when he gave the 64 interpretations of the 11 words of the Atmarama verse found in the first canto. So Prabhupada encouraged us to have these classes, these Bhagavatam classes. He also encouraged us to discuss this philosophy threadbare. And you do get something by explaining these verses. If you want to learn something well, you try to teach it, right? But you have to hear it properly and explain it properly. And if we do this in the Association of Devotees, and sometimes, like when we give classes, at the end we say, any comments, questions or corrections. So we're all studying the same books, but we're coming also, you know, we all have, you know, different realizations along the way, you know, on our journey. So reading is important, hearing is important. There's, of course, the purports are there. But even Prabhupada, if you listen to the recordings, he's taking the same verses and explaining them differently, you know, every time. So it depends on the purity and the realization of the speaker. So many verses, Krishna consciousness itself can be explained so many ways. It's multidimensional. And even our main commentaries, like Baladeva, Vishwanath, Sridhar Swami, they explain the same verse in different ways. And it's like Krishna is some multifaceted jewel, and great sages and Vaishnavas are reflecting light from that jewel, depending on the angle they're observing it.
So and we get to find out where we're supposed to be in that whole process.
Right. But we're all developing. You know, I'm very impressed with Giri Govardhan. He's become fluent. You know, and I think he should be training Brahmins. I think he should have disciples. You know, at a certain stage of this hearing and explaining, you become fluent in the philosophy and fluent and realized. And this hearing and explaining is the only way to really assimilate this. It's not just reading.
Yeah, again, that was the same point I'm making. The Bible says the same thing. Socrates says the same thing. Yeah, everybody says, yeah, the best process of self-realization is questions and answers, yeah, from the self. And Socrates says a self. What does he say? A self, self-realized soothsayer, perfected soothsayer. The same thing. You know, mystical guy who's actually really experienced that the soul is immortal. You talk to him every day, and you also get the same experience. He says. There's a joke that says, "Why do universities exist?" And the answer is, so the teachers can learn.
Yeah.
That's it.
The child is farther to the man.
When you start explaining it, then you see what you don't know. Oh my God! Wait a second. Let me go back. Hear again. Yeah. Incredible. And again, that point is that wherever is the attitude, you know, wherever you go, whoever you meet, Yari Deki Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh. Sometimes it's a little artificial, pushing a little bit to talk about Krishna, but it becomes, you know, it's a very good result. And we go for an evening walk with Nitya Gaur Sundar every evening. Dr. Ravi Singh, psychiatrist, he goes for a 2.5 mile walk every evening. So we go, and then I'm explaining what we're reviewing, studying for Bhakti Bhai Baba, and it's very nice, you know. Very nice chance to go over all the materials, and because Bhagavatam is becoming more and more clear. In the third canto now, it's just, I've been through maybe four times, but organizing, writing the study guides, talking about it in classes, it's really just becoming very natural, and the big divisions are becoming natural. Different topics are being discussed for maybe three or four chapters, you know. The sections on Varnashram with Devahuti and Kardama, Swayam Bhuva, unbelievable amount of work to do to put those all into popular media so that when boys and girls are growing up, they see these things and they understand, yeah, this is how it works, you know. Yeah. So any kind of questions or comments?
I would like to ask a question, Maharaj.
Okay.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that if a Goswami shouldn't dare to sit on the Vyasasan, and no one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasan unless he's spotless in character. In our Sangha here, devotees have brought to my attention, you know, so-and-so, did you know that he wasn't following the regular principles? And then I had, asked that devotee, you know, we wouldn't let him speak after that. So I follow that. However, I've always felt a little bit shy or bad about it sometimes. You come across someone, they have problems, usually, you know, you're with following one of the regulative principles, but they seem so enthusiastic about preaching and sincere. And they appear to have some potency from my perspective anyway, but still, like I say, I follow it. If somebody is either tells me personally that, you know, they're not strictly following, we find out that they're not strictly following, then we don't allow them to speak. What is your opinion about?
In the Upadeshamrita, which again is everything is there the same way like Vidagda was saying, it's seamless. In every word, you probably, you know. So if you look for it, it says the Lord Chaitanya was talking to Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya is giving advice to, what's his name, Khan? His name now. Satyaraj Khan. And if you go back to that, just follow the citation. It's this very principal verse where I know Narayan Maharaj made a comment on it, Prabhupada comments on it. This discussion, and Jiva Goswami is being cited again and again, about whether or not basically it's necessary to take second initiation. Whether it's necessary. And the conclusion is that somebody who's not offensive, right, not offensive, even though he's not up to that level of all the rules and regulations, is still worthy of respect, like that, you know. Whereas somebody who may be following all the rules and regulations necessary for the formalities of his second initiation, he may not still be completely free from envy and these kind of things like that, you know, so on. So, but again, I would say, as a form, I can experience this. You know, someone like that, he has, you know, these attachments are very deep, you know, very deep. So maybe somebody has some attachment which is causing him to be attached to intoxication. But as he goes on year after year, investigating it, working on it, he discovers that the cause of it is deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Until finally it may be the attachment which takes him all the way back to God again. By the time he roots this out, he's gone back to the original thing which caused the whole problem. Like that. You know? So, okay. for formality's sake, then that person can be asked to make comments, you know, and given lots of time because he's got something to say worthwhile. But then not sitting on the Vyasa-san, you know, maybe not taking second initiation formally, but you know, giving proper informal respect like that. And so there's no offense. He appreciates, and everybody benefits like that. So that's what I would say, is that we have to understand, yeah, it's possible for somebody to be situated, but as long as we're on the neophyte platform, it would be difficult for us and others to distinguish it. So the rules and regulations are there and to keep us properly situated. But informally, yeah, there's so much opportunity to appreciate people and according to the development.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I guess we got to go ahead here with our work tomorrow. This is incredible. This is maybe the biggest section of holidays in the calendar. Ekadasi, Vamana Devadasi, Appearance Day, and also Jiva Goswami. Appearance Day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then tomorrow is Disappearance Day of Haridas Thakur, and then Saturday is Vishvarup Mahotsava, which is the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's sannyas, and also it's the birthday of Upadeshamrita. So another excuse for a festival. You can have
today is also the Appearance Day of Madhukanta.
Ah, okay.
Right. I was told.
There's several Madhukantas, yeah. So we can have all these birthdays, all the books. So many days, Prabhupada says, finished at this date. We can have different birthday parties, you know, for all the books with candles. The Upadeshamrita, I think, is like 38 years old or something now.
Wow.
Big birthday party. And we read the whole thing. Maybe 1 hour. Okay, so thank you very much. And let me see what our schedule is next week. Yeah, next week it should be okay. It should be okay next week also. Then after that we're heading to South America. So thank you very much. So Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai
Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.